Oh, see, Dan, I was slacking. I forgot. I gotta hit the button now.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but hey, you should stop by there just to see what might pop up. You never know what's going to happen. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link itself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, that's right.
All right. So, well, it is Monday, and, you know, on Mondays when we are here during the regular season, we make Dan pick his players and pitchers of the week. So he has done that. I do not know who he picked. I know who the media picked. I did see that already, but we'll have to see how Dan – well, just hitters, didn't see pitchers. So we will have to see how Dan compares to them. So, all right, we always start in the AL, Dan. I had a guy in mind, but I don't think you – I know you picked the White Sox a few weeks ago, so I don't think you went with Jose Abreu again because – biased for you, but tell me who you went with in the American League.
I was tossing it up going with Jose Abreu, but I ended up running it up with the worst team in baseball, and that was Whit Merrifield. You know, in
Baltimore Memorial? Oh.
Yes. No. Oh, that's right, the second worst team then. So, you know, he was in six games, had the same amount of bats as Abreu, three less runs, but 11 hits, no doubles, no triples, but he had two bombs with five RBIs and one walk. And three stolen bases, but
Woo-hoo!
The biggest thing for me and what set him apart from Abreu to get the award was the fact that he did not strike out at all last week. So, you know, with the young kid coming up, you know, with a young kid like that coming up, hashtag Royals Rays. Yeah, you know, with this generation, if a guy can go six games, 23 at bats without a strikeout, I think that warrants the player of the week. You know, his on base was up par with Abreu. His slugging was down a little bit, but you know, overall they're pretty evenly matched up. I think if Abreu had, you know, struck out maybe once, it would have went to him. But Whit Merrifield had that advantage. Plus, you know, in the day and age where stolen bases don't count, three of them I think it's pretty big.
So yeah, I know the media Rogan Orduro, the Texas Rangers. He had a 4-homer, 10 RBI week with a 10 RBI average. I'm guessing they love that. I don't know.
I believe he struck out about 10 times. So.
Six, actually. So he did walk six times as well, so at least he would keep it. But yeah, you know how it is. It's a home run culture. Runs are gonna, you know, gonna get all that attention and stuff. But I would have taken your guy or Abreu or quite a few other guys on that list ahead of Odor. But that's just me, and you know, I don't get a vote. This is just Dan. So,
very low too. I think his batting average was very low.
304. So it wasn't terrible. It wasn't in the 400s like a lot of guys were, but you know, it's better than what he's been doing. All right. Well, we jump over to the National League and I was really, you know, there's a guy I'm rooting for because he hit 440 with 11 hits and did have a couple home runs. Didn't drive in a ton of runs, but his team didn't score a lot, so I'm under the impression you probably didn't take him. Hint, hint. But who did you go with in the National League?
I went with the man who was in one more game than Andrew McCutchen. 26 at-bats, which is pretty even. He did cross the plate himself 7 times. With 11 hits, 2 of them were doubles, 4 were home runs, with 7 RBIs. Then he walked 8 times with just 1 stolen base, and that was Matt Carpenter. You know, he did have a negative 5 strikeouts, but it seemed like everyone was striking out last week except for Daniel Murphy. But, you know, I just thought his numbers.
And Bryce Harper struck out once.
Whoa, big surprise. I just thought his numbers were pretty solid last week and would be enough to, you know, put his team over the edge in games this week.
Beautiful. Look at that. That's actually 2 out of the 3 weeks Carpenter has won your award, so that's kind of impressive. Yeah, you know, Bryce Harper finally hitting. It's odd that the average is up now, but the power is down. He hit 476 last week but only managed 1 home run.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just kind of strange how that kind of shook out. You know, I'm sure you were looking at Javi Baez, who's probably never talking to this too, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know why his home run numbers are down, right?
No, why?
Because for every home run you hit in the home run derby, you hit one less.
Oh, yeah. Not that he's actually homered for me at all in the home run derby this year, but... so yeah, you know, that's an oddity. You actually you agreed with the media. They had Matt Carpenter as well. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah. That's, well, you know, again, you kind of looked at it. And, you know, the threat I noticed with them is home runs. So Odor had the most in the American League. He was tied with Nelson, but he had a better week. Carpenter was tied with Trevor Story, and while Story had more RBIs, Carpenter had the overall better week. So it seems like they're really kind of in tune to the power hitter, which is no surprise in today's baseball. You know, they probably don't even realize that Carpenter stole the base last week. So,
well, they just probably click on the home runs and whoever the top guy is, well, let's go with him.
That probably, you know, and that wouldn't surprise me either. They probably just go, hey, let's look at this guy, and hey, this guy's got the most home runs. Let's take this guy. Well, you know, that's I wouldn't surprise me at all if that's how it's done. But all right, well, let's get over to pitching. Let's see what we got here. Oh, hey, I didn't know that. Okay, well, this will be interesting. No, you take this guy. All right, well, tell me who you took before I start laughing.
Well, I took a guy who went 2-0 with a 0.00 ERA in 2 games. He only pitched 12 innings. He gave up 8 hits, but only gave up 1 run that was unearned with 4 walks and 8 strikeouts. And that man is your favorite guy, Edwin.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Yay. You forgot to say former Cub great, Edwin Jackson.
Yeah. He's probably still getting paid by them. You know, to be honest, I was kind of surprised at the amount of Oakland pitchers in, like, the top 30. Or whatever the showed you.
They were rolling last week. I mean, you know, you took Jackson, but Trevor Cahill had a really good week. I think he was the other starter who was 2-0. So it was you know, both the Oakland pitchers. I know there were some relievers who picked up a couple of wins, but just kind of looking at the numbers. I mean, it's. You know, it's actually a pretty easy choice. You know, the only guy with 2 starts that didn't give up any runs was Masahiro. No, he did give up a run, Masahiro Tanaka. Otherwise, it was just Jackson. And, you know, he's...
If Paxton would have won both games, I would have went with him, but...
Yeah.
You're good.
Or if Price could have got the decision, you know, David Price had a really good week, too. Kind of looking at it. I mean, yeah, the guy didn't give up any earned runs. It's hard to not, you know, kind of look at him and go, yeah, he looks like a pretty reasonable choice there. And, I mean, you know, 12 innings and two starts in today's game is actually pretty good. I mean, you know, obviously the six-inning average. Not, you know, not huge strikeout numbers, but, again, he's not giving up any runs, so you can't complain too much about it, can you?
No, and, you know, to me that says he's given up. I know Edwin Jackson isn't a huge fly-ball pitcher, so, you know, I can definitely get behind a guy who's given up ground ball odds.
And then, all right, we get to swing over to the – where are we going? We're going to the – what's that other league called? The National League. That's it. And who did you go with here?
Well, you know, the National League I don't think had as good a week as the American League pitching did. But over in Arizona, a guy who pitched one game, went seven solid innings. And, you know, the kicker was no run. No runs were given up, and no runs were given up at all. But he did strike out 10 to one walk, and that was Zach Gottlieb.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that one. That's kind of interesting there.
Yeah, I did a little bit more digging on this one. You know, there's a few guys to go for, but I just thought he put together probably one of the better performances of the week.
But yeah, you know, just like the board popped up, you know, it pops up with ERA automatically, and I really thought you were going to go with Tanner Roark when I saw the numbers come up here. So
I looked at him, but I liked Godley a little better.
No, well, that's interesting. Yeah, well, you know, he did. Well, there were a couple other guys. Oh no, they gave up runs though. It looks like, yeah, comparison, it looks like Zach Wheeler was the only guy in comparison there because he went seven innings like Godley did. Velasquez had a good start, but he was six and a third. He was a couple outs behind them. And, yeah, number-wise, Godley has him. It's kind of funny because Wheeler gave up one more hit and Godley struck out one more guy. So they were
yeah.
pretty comparable number-wise. So,
yeah, but I know how you hate ties. You're not a guy who likes a tie. So.
No, there are no
really.
There are no ties in baseball.
So I'm just, you know, really trying to push the guy and go for it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. You know,
well, he gave up a couple of runs this week, but you know, he made two really good starts. He had the most moves out of anything else.
Yeah, I mean, the kicker for me is the more runs I see on the pitcher side, the less likely I think he deserves an award.
No.
Unless he goes nine innings. If he can go nine innings
yeah.
in one game, then we might, you know, put a little bit more into the thought process.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was just wondering, because he had a solid outing yesterday, and then obviously earlier in the week he did fairly well, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I thought maybe. But, yeah, I really thought, leaning into it, I thought you were going with Tanner Roark because he was 2-0, and his ERA was 1.29, so I really thought that was the way you were going to go. You know, and I know you were looking at Bumgarner, but he only pitched five innings, so you couldn't go that route. I know how you are. You're
yeah.
looking at all those guys. Let's see if you can sneak one of them in there and be like, oh, hey, got you. So.
Walker Buehler was up there too, but you know, with
yeah,
the
he had
National
a big strike.
League, I kind of went. I went a little bit more with the average comparison.
Well, that's good. So, all right, so there you go. They're Dan Pick. You know, again, I don't know pitching, but he did select the same as in the National League, but he was different in the American League, so that's nice. The media did. Just how it kind of goes. But, yeah, any questions you can for Dan, you know, at Dan's command. There you go. We'll hunt him down. But, yeah, you know, it seems like, Dan, there's only there's only one thing going on in baseball after the weekend, and apparently it's raining cats and dogs on the Yankees right now.
And the White Sox?
No, just because they got swept by the Sox four games this weekend, so everybody has had it, and that's actually their fifth loss in a row. So that was quite interesting. But it seems to be, you know, anytime somebody talks baseball, this is the only thing that came up. And obviously I get that it's a big deal being swept, but are you all that surprised? I mean, I thought the Red Sox were the better team all along, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought they were the better team. I mean, you know, like we talked on Friday, I don't remember exactly where I went with it. But I thought they would win. I thought they would try to split it, but to see that we didn't get Yankees win at all this weekend, I think this is Boston's division. And I think this is going to be Boston's, I don't want to say year, but I think they're going to own the American League. And they're the team that you're going to have to knock off, not the defending champs.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, I mean, you look at it, and I fully expected the Yankees to win at least one game. I didn't think they would go in there and get swept. And, you know, they had their chances. Last night looked like that game, and Chapman blew the save, you know, walked three guys. You know, they still had a chance to get out of it, but they had the air. I don't know if they gave it to the third baseman or the first baseman. Probably the third baseman. The ball one hopped them, but any quality first baseman makes that pick. Greg Burgess couldn't do it last night. I mean, any Gold Glove winner makes that pick and saves his team, and it didn't happen to the Yankees last night. And then they went on to lose an extra inning. What's odd, Dan, is what I'm not hearing a lot, and I'm a little surprised by this, by the national media, is it's not so much that the Red Sox are the better team, but I'm hearing a lot of excuses, you know, and of course, the first two obvious ones, well, you know, it's because Aaron Judge is hurt, and then it's because Gary Sanchez is hurt. Did they not realize that the Red Sox haven't, Dustin Pedroia has played a handful of games this year? So, you know, they're down a former MVP. I don't think Judge or Sanchez has won one of them yet. So, you know, injuries are part of the game, teams deal with it. I don't get the excuse angle here, Dan. I really don't. Can you explain this to me? Why would they run that route?
Here, I'll give you the excuse, the better excuse, and it's because they have a rookie coach. No one looking into that.
Yeah, I didn't hear that one. So.
No. Or I've got an even better. I got a better excuse. Following too much of today's media protocol, and that is that you only win games and play games by the home run.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I found that so interesting. You know, when I was kind of listening to it, I was like, really? That's the reason they lost? I mean, I think it was Friday night. The Red Sox scored like 15 or 16 runs or something. Maybe that had a little more to do with it than, you know, a couple of Yankee bats being injured. Maybe that's just me. And I know Judge is having a really good year. He's got 26 bombs, 285 with 61 ribbies. I'll leave out the 137 strikeouts just because, you know, I'm that guy and I don't want to be like that. Dan, Gary Sanchez is hitting .188. I know he's got 14 home runs, so everybody likes to get all excited about that. Dan, it's .188. How the hell was he going to help him? Was he going to break out of it this weekend? Was that the deal?
Well, yeah, it's the biggest rivalry in baseball. So that would light the fire.
Right, that would wake him up and get him going out of his .188 slump there that he's kind of mired in. So, yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, I get it. You know, you're missing Judge. That's great. He's a big cog in your lineup. But you're missing a guy who's hitting the .188. That's just wonderful. So... You know, and I mean, I know the Red Sox just picked up Ian Kinsler. He got hurt. He was out of the series. I mentioned Pedroia, but, you know, Rafael Devers also missed the series. He's on the DL. So, you know, I mean, granted, they're probably not – well, Kinsler at one point in time was a very good player. You know, Devers, who knows what he'll be. And like I said, Pedroia was an MVP. So we're talking about some, you know, some quality guys here on the injury list. I don't really think you can look at that and go, oh, yeah, that's why they lost. These guys were hurt. When these guys aren't hurt, we'll win. Or they'll win, excuse me. I know the media wanted to say will win, but they meant to say they'll win.
Yeah. Well, Yankees catcher, who's supposed to be a phenom for what the Red Sox have, you know, you've got Dan Butler, who I've never even heard of, and then with Sandy Leone, which over the last, what, two seasons, the Red Sox have basically gone with the platoon of Christian Vasquez and Sandy Leone, and sometimes Blake Swihart. So, you know, they don't really have, like, this solid catcher in that position. And then, who was the guy I was looking for? Oh, there we go. Playing center field for the Red Sox, I mean, let's be honest, he's kind of been the biggest disappointment on this team as far as batting average goes and, you know, what you would expect out of what the potential was likely to be, you know. So, I mean, they're still doing it, and I think that's one of the things that separates the Red Sox from the Yankees is the fact that they're definitely more versatile on the I don't want to say the base pass, but at the plate. You know, you don't have a 1-9 of hitters that are all supposed to be power hitters.
But, yeah, you know, that, like I said, that was just my, you know, my humor take was the fact that, you know, right away it wasn't, yeah, – because, you know, I just looked at it and I said, man, the Red Sox played really good. You know, looking at the games and the series and stuff, and, you know, I mean, obviously David Price pitched real well. Pablo pitched out of his mind. I don't know where that came from. So, yeah, you know, it just really, you know, really kind of went that way. And then, yeah, I'm listening to these guys. It was actually Dan Plesac talking about how much the Yankees miss Gary Sanchez in their lineup. Like, really? How many other teams miss a guy who's hitting a buck 88? you know, okay. You know, that's like saying the Cardinals miss Dexter Fowler right now, you know. And the weird part is it's not like Sam Chris is a great defender. You know, you're not getting a guy with a great arm. You're not getting a guy who can even really block pitches. You know, that's always been his knock. He's a poor defender as a catcher. It's the offense that carries him. And I'm just kind of like, okay, they missed this guy? Where did we come up with this one? You know, stick with the Aaron Judge argument.
Well, yeah, and the way Austin Romine's been playing over the last couple of weeks, I mean,
he's really been a better catcher. Yeah. You know, this season, I know he doesn't have the power, and that's what everybody is going to get all excited about, but, yeah, he's really been the better catcher.
I didn't realize he was with them since 2011.
Yeah, so. But we did have a couple minor trades, Dan. I don't know if you saw these things go through. The Jays went out and got a starting pitcher. They got Mike Fiers from the Tigers for a player to be named later. Now, Fiers, he actually wasn't too bad with the Tigers. He was 7-6 in 21 starts. That's not too bad considering the Tigers are well under 500. But he had an ERA of 3.48. So it, you know, it looks like they added a pretty solid guy to, you know, the middle of their rotation. And, you know, it kind of seems as the Yankees have been, or excuse me, the A's have been kind of pulling it off with Mears as far as pitchers go. So, you know, you just add Fiers in and hope he can continue as he's rolling here.
That's the plan. You know, and they've got a pretty big series tonight going up against the Dodgers. Tomorrow.
So.
You know, they have Rich Hill tonight, Kershaw tomorrow.
Oh, wow. You know, and then the Tigers, what the Tigers ended up doing is they called up Jacob Turner to take Fiers' spot in the rotation. And then we had another what you would call small trade. I know over the weekend, the Rays designated Aiden Echeverria their shortstop for assignment. They ended up dealing him to the Pirates for a minor league right-hander by the name of Matt Stealing. There really wasn't a spot for Echeverria because the Rays had called up their top prospect. Never been a great offensive guy. He was hitting .258 with 3 home runs and 26 RBIs in 61 games. He's always been a defensive guy. Even for his career, he's a .255 hitter. So looking at it, he's probably an upgrade over what the Pirates have at shortstop, but I don't know how much playing time he's going to get. Do you see him ending up on the getting a bunch of playing time, or what do you think he's going to be?
They do have Jody Mercer, who has been holding that shortstop spot down. He may be one of those young kids that they're looking at for speed to maybe come in. Like you mentioned, he's been a defensive guy, so he'll have a good spot for himself when it's time to switch the pitcher. It's a good move for you try not to look at all the negatives, but you try to look at some of the positives. But, with the National League, I think that's where the versatility comes in, and you're able to, you got to look at everything.
Yeah, and then, I actually completely stole the fact while we were talking about the A's, they added another bullpen arm. They ended up acquiring Sean Kelly, who was designated for assignment by the Nationals. All they did was international slot money. They gave him international slot money, and then I believe they sent cash to Washington for Kelly. Now, I was a little surprised the Nationals designated him with the bullpen issues they had. He was 1-0 with a 3.34 ERA in 35 games. So he was having a pretty good year for them. Are you surprised that they dropped the designation tag on him with kind of the turmoil that they've had there? Oh, you cut off my favorite conductor. Wait for the guy to stop before Dan can answer.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of surprised, but I wanted to take a step back real quick about the Denny Echeverria and the Pirates. The interesting thing, I think, for me is, like I said, it's definitely going to give you some of that versatility when it comes down to the later innings and the pitch changes and the defensive swaps.
Yeah.
But what kind of makes little maybe no sense, and they were probably unleashing a pitcher on the Rays that they probably anticipate will not make the major leagues, but Echeverria is 29, Mercer's 31. They're both unrestricted next year, free agents. So, that one, like I said, I think it makes sense in the later part of the innings, but now you've got to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He's going to be a free agent. I thought maybe if they had him for the season. Keep telling us the same crap over and over. But going back to what you were saying about Sean Kelly, I think they were just making a bold statement that and it's confusing because they did the same. So basically, unless you're Bryce Harper, the coach has to go because he doesn't work with you. But if you're a little mad at the coach, and you're the relief pitcher, you got to go.
Yeah. So, that was really the main reason for it. Now, I don't know if you heard this rumor. The other reliever they traded was Brandon Kitzler. He ended up coming to the Cubs. Apparently, the report there was he was a snitch in the locker room for something. And they made the deal, and it turned out that apparently he didn't do what they had reported he had done. So he really took a fall. The media made him a bad guy for something that went on, and the Nationals shipped him out of town, and it ended up he didn't do it. So
what was the issue?
I'm trying to remember what the heck it was, and I'm drawing a blank on it, on what he supposedly tattled on or what he apparently did. I was just kind of like, okay, they're you know, they're going to do what here? It's like, can they, you know, can they really be, afford to be selling these guys off, you know, the way, you know, the way they're kind of acting here? I binged it for you. So let me see if they say what he allegedly did here in this article. You know, they said rumors of clubhouse leaking is how they described it here. So, but yeah, it doesn't look like they have much on it. Just kind of the usual BS. Yeah, here they cited clubhouse strife, Dan. So there is strife in the clubhouse. I know he allegedly told Jeff Passan of Yahoo something, and Kinsler came out and said he didn't even know who Jeff Passan was, and he'd never talked to him in his life. So it was just kind of like, okay. Apparently he called the clubhouse in Washington a mess, part of the reason he got shipped off. So,
well, I mean, you know, I'm at a loss for words, but aside from all the talent that they have on that team, what else would be the issue of why they're not in first?
Yeah. Yeah, obviously there's a clubhouse issue there. I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is, but there's something going on. Now, besides shipping off the two pitchers, apparently to replace one of these guys, Dan, the Nationals have decided that they will bring in Greg Holland. Now, you know, Holland has been a big time closer for a long time. The Cardinals picked him up really late. I think it was the season they've already started. He appeared in 32 games for him, Dan. He went 0-2 with a 7.92 ERA. So I think the Nationals have solved their bullpen issues now, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Guy who was cut by a not-so-great team.
That ought to wrap things up for him there, tie a nice little bow around it. You know, and then in one of those unusual moves that we don't get too often in baseball with the trade deadline here, you know, players have to go through waivers, and if a team claims his team has a couple choices, they can pull the guy off waivers and keep him, or they have so much time to work out a deal with the team that claimed him. The third option is you can just let that guy go, and the team who claimed on waivers is responsible for the remainder of his salary. Well, the Padres put a couple pitchers on waivers. The Cardinals claimed Tyson Ross, and the Padres said, "Duh. Take him. He's yours." So the Cardinals are responsible for the remainder of his $1.75 million salary this year. Apparently it's right around $500,000. Are you a little surprised that, you know, I mean, I know the Padres aren't contending for anything, but wouldn't you think they would, you know, pull him back and at least, you know, see if they could work out a trade or something?
The next stop will be Montana, the Rio Grande. Oh, by the way, your favorite guy actually has a day off today. Kind of, but, you know, $500,000, I guess, is $500,000, right?
Yeah, I guess. I just thought it was kind of odd. They, you know, they also said Jordan Lyles was claimed, but apparently the Padres are either working out a deal or they pulled him back because any movement on him. So, you know, just one of those weird things. But yeah, I was a little surprised when I just kind of thought, and they were like, "Oh yeah, hell, just let him go." So, they are recording. I don't know if either of these guys. Well, maybe one of them will get moved. But apparently, Joe Mauer and Logan Morrison made it through waivers. So they can now be dealt to any team. Would you be, you know, they're both, well, Morrison's only on a one-year deal, but Mauer's in the last year of the contract. He's kind of been a twin for life. Do you and he's got a full no trade clause. Do you see him agreeing to go anywhere? Or do you think he just wants to be a Twin, kind of like Adam Jones wanted to be an Oriole?
I think it would be cool if he wanted to just remain a Twin. But, I mean, going to a team like the Red Sox wouldn't hurt.
So yeah, you do wonder if a contender comes calling, you know, if he would, you know, if he would be interested, you know, if that would kind of change his mind. I wouldn't now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Morrison get dealt. You know, he's a power left-handed bat. You know, especially in the American League, he could be a good guy coming off the bench, you know, part-time DH, part-time first baseman type of guy. You know, now that he's through waivers, do you think he's going to go somewhere?
I think he'll be the guy that definitely goes somewhere. Well, where's he at now?
He's in Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota.
No, he's in Minnesota. He is scuffling a little this year. He's only hitting .195, but he does have 15 home runs. He's only played 91 games because, you know, he obviously Mauer is there, and you know they're in this situation. They're not looking to play, you know, Logan Morrison because he's probably not going to be there past this year. So, but yeah, I still think he could be a capable asset down the road. What I am surprised is looking at the Twins, I don't see your guy Fernando Rodney. I wonder if he didn't make it through waivers.
I don't even understand how that process works.
Yeah, it's a strange deal, but you know, it's so weird. It's like it's so weird that people make trades. So.
Well, they have to the end of this month, right? In September.
Yeah, I always forget when the actual cutoff is. And I think even after that, you can still make a trade. It's just that guy's not eligible for the postseason run.
Yeah.
So.
But I do think August 30 or 31st is the cutoff because then, you know, September 1 brings us the minor league call-ups. That is allegedly unfair to the teams that are playing better because, you know, their draft picks aren't as good as the teams that are not doing as good.
Yeah, it's an odd system. It's like... late in the season, it's just kind of like, okay, here, we're going to give you all these extra guys, and then you figure out what you're going to do with them, you know, and then it's like, okay, well, you know, do you play your minor leaguers against the first place team, or how do you go about fielding your team? You know, so I can kind of do you want to see, you know, Clayton Kershaw go out pitching against the Triple A Padres that they've called up?
Well, you know, for me, I think it's a matter of it's getting the minor leaguers exposure of what it's like to be on a major league roster. And for those who are claiming that it's not fair and you know, these prospects are better than, you know, like you said, the Dodgers prospects. But a guy like Clayton Kershaw is a great pitcher, and it shouldn't matter that he's never seen these batters before. You know, a guy like Max Scherzer, you know, even David Price, if you want to go there, John Lester, all these guys that are at the top of their game, you know, it shouldn't make a difference if it's you know, let's just throw it out there. Tim Tebow, I know he's not coming up because he's hurt. Or, you know, Jonas Cespedes coming up to bat. You know, two guys that are hurt, right? Great example. But you kind of get my point. You know, whether it's the minor leaguer in his, you know, third season getting paid down in the minors, or, you know, a guy high caliber, Lorenzo Cain, or, you know, someone of that stature, it shouldn't matter who they have. You know, the game is still the same. The hitter is supposed to get on base to score a run, and the pitcher's job is to get him out. And if you can't get out, you know, get around these minor league kids, then, you know, it's kind of showing your weakness.
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, and I know it's just kind of luck of the schedule, but to me it always seems kind of, I don't know if you want to call it fair or unfair or how you look at it, but, you know, like we'll stick with the Dodgers example. You know, we get the Dodgers, say they happen to be playing the Padres, and we got, it is Clayton Kershaw against a bunch of the Padres call-ups. Not that that would be all that different than what the Padres look like this year. I mean, let's face it. But, you know, is that fair to say maybe the Diamondbacks got the draw and they're playing the Rockies? You know, or better yet, the Diamondbacks or the Rockies are playing the Giants and they got to face Madison Bumgarner?
Yeah, I just I can't find the negative connotation in it. You know, I hate to bring up, it's one of those things where this is the way the game has been, but no one's really had an issue over the last, 100 years with the way the system's been. So, unless you can give me some concrete evidence as to why it should be changed, I really don't have an issue with it. You know, the minor league season is over with. And, you know, just because, let's say, the Cubs, the Iowa Cubs won their, you know, their championship, doesn't mean that you've got the best players coming out. And, you know, not only that, at the end of the day, the only difference of knowing who's at the bat alters your appearance a little bit as to how you may throw to them. But if you're a great pitcher, Kershaw, Scherzer, it shouldn't matter who's at the plate at all. But, you know, my philosophy for a pitcher would be going up to the plate, and it doesn't matter who's at the plate. You just throw your strikes and get them out.
Yeah, you know, again, it just seems weird, though. You know, you got Clayton Kershaw against basically a minor league lineup, and then you got the teams that are competing with them to win the division facing one of the best pitchers in baseball. I guess technically, almost every night, but it just seems weird come September when it's a lot of the minor leaguers hanging around.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's like when I heard David DeJesus and Kaplan talking the one night, and they were comparing the Cubs and the Brewers' schedule, and, you know, DeJesus has to bring up how much easier the Brewers' schedule is to the second half of baseball. And, you know what, it's not freaking football. Eight games compared to 75, it's so different.
Yeah, football scheduling is just the drawn stuff like that. And I, to me, it's a big effect. I've just heard it, brought up quite a few times. And when you think about it, it is kind of an odd situation that you get to add all these guys in September in a playoff race, that this is the time you get to add all these people. And I mean, obviously it's great for a young kid. You know, he gets the opportunity to prove himself and go against some of the better pitching to see what, he can do. But, you've got to think if you're if you're a contender, you want that team giving them their best game with their best players. And I don't know if that always happens at that time of year, does it?
No, but I mean, the Yankees are missing their best player.
Sanchez, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah. Well, it's the same situation, but I mean, even that, who does San Diego really have? Will Myers?
Eric Hosmer.
No, Eric Hosmer. Oh, I was thinking he got traded.
I don't know. They got your guy Christian Villanueva.
Yeah, but I mean, he's the atypical era of baseball today where he only hits home runs and, then goes a week with no hits and 25 strikeouts.
Yeah, I don't know if you say so. I'll believe you there. I haven't done a lot of Christian Villanueva research, so I don't know much about how his year is going. I know he was hot really early. But yeah, you know, like I said, it's just kind of, you know, just one of those weird things. So, but all right,
yeah,
well,
but I mean,
I'm done talking.
At the end of the day, wow. Has the outcome of the game really changed that much?
Yeah.
Because of the September call?
Yes,
I don't think so.
I think it's
but
huge.
Anyway.
Actually, I don't. I'm just kind of taking the opposite point to be that because, you know. So, but I did have to ask you this. I don't know if you saw this one. We talked a little bit about NASCAR yesterday. You know, Chase Elliott got his first career win, and it should have been a hugely exciting thing for the sport, except later that night, the CEO got pulled over for drunk driving and apparently had OxyContin in his car. He went to jail. Now, he's taken an indefinite leave of absence. But my question is, Dan, he's the CEO. He also happens to be the guy who hands down all the punishments to the teams. How does he punish himself?
Oh, is there a committee? I mean, he's got a doctor's prescription.
So,
you know, how did that,
know,
that change things?
Him and, you know, all that fun stuff. And, you know, it's Brian France, by the way. I know I didn't throw any names out there. And I know his brother Joe France is going to step up and fill the role while he's away. And I don't know if he has issues or what, but this is probably the best thing. But yeah, just taking kind of a humorous look at it. I mean, he's the guy who does all this stuff. How does he say, well, I'm suspended for this long, you know, or I'm fined this much? I don't understand how do you handle that?
Well, he loses all his sponsor points.
Is that what it is? He gets penalized owner points or something, you know?
Yeah.
I just thought kind of a strange situation there for that. So, you know, then what I was dying to ask you, and I kind of spaced it off because I just kind of drowned out all the thought process about this, but I'm dying to get your take on every other sports show's talked about this, so I figured you and I might as well. Donald Trump tweet basically calling LeBron James stupid.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't even really look into it this weekend because I'm just tired of the Trump talk. But I didn't really know what he was referring to.
Yeah, I didn't get it either. You know, I think he was trying to take a shot at the interviewer who I believe was – I know the last name was Lemon. I think it was Don Lemon. I believe he wanted to take a shot at him, and he kind of inadvertently ended up including LeBron and, you know, basically saying that he made LeBron sound smart, which is difficult to do. And, you know, out of all the things I have issues with LeBron James, I don't think I've ever had a problem with his intelligence. I mean, he seems like a pretty smart guy. You know, and is it really in your best interest to take a shot at a guy like a week after he just opened a school?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, and I was listening to one of the locals, and they, of course, brought it up Saturday night and, you know, mentioned the fact that, you know, for a guy who doesn't like CNN, he obviously watches it a whole lot. But you know, to me, it's becoming more and more non-news. You know, whether you like Trump or you hate him, I'm just tired of hearing everything.
Yeah, I just, you know, like when I see stuff like this, and I mean, I'm not a big political guy. I mean, I don't care a lot about that stuff. I don't understand why he continues to inject himself into the sports arena. You know, he had a big, you know, a big stance on the NFL national anthem. You know, and I think he may have, you know, obviously he had some issues with the Warriors about not wanting to come to the White House. But, yeah, I mean, don't you think he should have better things to do? You know, I mean, there seems like there's a lot more going on. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the job is easier than I thought. But, yeah, I would think there's a lot more going on than, you know, being able to worry about an interview with LeBron James?
Well, I hope you put your foil hat on, because I can't disagree with you and say that there isn't a whole lot going on. But he keeps touching on subjects that are Americana, which is sports. You notice he doesn't talk about soccer. But, you know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, a magician does. You know, you look over here because you can't see what I'm doing over there. And at the end of the day, when it comes to the President of the United States, you know, there's the three branches, but let's be honest, Congress is the one that really does everything, and the Supreme Court kind of does too, on the, you know, without a whole lot of notice. So, you know, the President almost becomes more of a spokesperson for the nation, I believe. So he's just trying to, you know, keep your attention over here while they're doing, you know, this over there.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what, didn't he? I know I thought I read he just put out sanctions or something. Maybe that's what he was trying to do, was distract everybody enough to get out that, to not to notice this was going on or something. But, yeah, you know, I keep hearing, you know, and every time it's like, well, you know, Donald Trump's saying about sports. And the first thing that pops into my mind every time is like, who cares? You know, why do I care at all what Donald Trump's opinion about sports is?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times I don't care about the guys who actually know the business of sports.
Yeah.
And you think, I mean, you know, I'm going to be upset, you know, because this guy who, you know, I do wonder, you know, well, actually, Dan, just think this could have all been avoided if the NFL would have let him buy the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
So,
well, and was Goodell in power at that time?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this could have all been solved if they would have just said, go ahead, Mr. Trump, buy the team. So. But, yeah, you know, again, and it's just kind of like, you know, it keeps coming up and it keeps coming up. And I'm like, really, could you just shut up? I don't, you know, go take care of the country. I really don't care what your sporting opinion is, but, you know, but yet here it is, it keeps popping up. And, you know, the minute he says something, you know how it is, everybody talks about him.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that's why he does it. He's essentially going to go down as the most controversial president in our I don't even know the word. Yeah, pretty much ever.
Yeah, you know, I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, why, you know, why all of a sudden did we randomly decide to go after LeBron James? You know, how did this pop up? And, you know, like I said, I really think it just had more to do with the interviewer than it did James himself. You know, because I know, I think there's a LeBron documentary coming out, isn't there?
I think so.
So,
good job.
Yeah, I found it. It's a three-part documentary series called Shut Up and Dribble. And Showtime actually just picked it up.
Isn't that contrary to what he does, though?
Yeah, you know, well, that's because that was something else I think Trump said when they were, some of the athletes were talking about, or no, I don't think it was Trump. It might have been somebody else, another news reporter, told an NBA player to shut up and dribble. So, but yeah, it's set to debut in October. But yeah, the series, here's the recap, Dan. It looks at the changing role of athletes in the current political and cultural climate against the backdrop of the NBA. So, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think when I hear shut up and dribble, I think about the part of, you know, are you trying to run the team or are you trying to play for the team? Because, I mean, you know, we've had this conversation before, especially watching the Cavaliers play, and it seemed like to me when LeBron shuts up and plays, they just were turning it on. But when he's trying to manage and run, you know, the front office to the on-court stuff, it just didn't really work out that way as well. You know, and you wonder what that spells for Luke Walton. While he has technically a championship under his belt, I mean, what did he really do for Golden State? I think I probably could have sat there and held the clipboard, and, you know, we would have won two championships.
And, you know, looking at more LeBron, the title does come. It was Laura Ingraham was the Fox News host who actually made the shut up and dribble comment when James started talking about politics in an interview back in February. He has another show. I don't know if you saw previews for this, Dan. I actually saw a couple for this. They're calling it The Shop. It debuts on HBO on August 28th. And now it's filmed in a barber shop, and they lead conversations and debates about what's going on around the country. So, he's got two things coming out, you know, probably – well, the first one is at least a little basketball involved, but the second one is just going to be strictly debating, issues in America.
Yeah, you know, I mean, doesn't it just remind you a little bit of what HBO does with, people who were essentially comics, but then all of a sudden decided that they're going to go political? I forget who that one guy is that everyone's so popular.
Bill Maher. So.
Bill Maher. You know, are you a comedian or are you a political activist? Take a platform? Or is that just me?
Yeah. If you look at it, I mean, guys, you know, Stephen Colbert was a comedian before he went political. There's a lot of... I guess that's how you make your money now, huh?
Yeah. Well, politics is huge. I mean, people sit around and, just sit on CNN or Fox News or...
So we're going to, I get Showtime. I don't get HBO, so I won't be able to watch the shop. So you'll have to tell me how it is. Looks like we're going to get a lot of LeBron here in a short time.
Well, just to put the foil hat on before we run out of time here, isn't it awfully convenient that these shows that he's getting weren't announced until after he signed with the Lakers?
Yeah, after he ended up in L.A., these shows all popped up. That's quite interesting. How that shakes out, isn't it? That it took for him going to, him going to LA was the difference maker in these shows getting on the air, right? So,
yeah.
But I'm sure they're going to make it. They're trying to make it seem that way, aren't they?
Oh yeah, but I mean, we talked about that. I think before the season started, and I don't know if his agent was looking for houses because they. That was probably the other part of it. The agent was like, hey, LeBron, last time you did this, I searched at the top of your house in Cleveland, and they moved it out of the water. So let's get this done early.
Oh, LeBron talked to me. We went to college 5 years ago to do this thing. The one other way, check out the phone all the way. That link powered over to the Facebook page and click on the like link while you're over there. Don't forget to put it in the video, which is at I'm always, hey, big thanks for coming on this. It's cool when you do that, but don't forget, podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at tunein.com. See you tomorrow.